Welcome to 20 Minutes and 2 Beers In. I'm JD.
Hey everybody, this is Bobby.
And episode 5, season 4, 161 overall, and we are rolling with a unique theme this week. We're talking about music, but in a way we've never done it before.
Absolutely. I'm very excited about this topic, JD, because we're giving it the loose title, Band of Others, which is we're talking about bands that existed before one of the members of that band became big. So if you're talking about somebody famous, the band before they broke. Yes. And what that band was all about. And we've got some music from those bands that we want to talk about. I'm pretty excited to hear what you have to bring to the table this week, JD.
I went old school on one of them, and the other one's pretty old, but still making some music. So I'm very excited to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the Olympics. There's a lot going on, and how you view and experience the Olympics this year kind of sucks. And I'll explain a little bit later. But as always, Bobby, we have to start out with our beer devotional.
What do you got?
I've got, it's called the Ale Diablo. The quote is from the famous governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, boy.
Milk,
Governator.
Milk is for babies. When you grow up, you have to drink beer. That's the quote.
Hey, all right. But I can agree with that.
Here's something interesting. The Ale Diablo is a blonde, pale golden. Smells like heaven, I'm guessing. anyway, the beer fact. The first American tax on beer was levied in 1862 by the Union Congress. By the early 1900s, taxes on beer and alcohol brought in 40% of the nation's revenue. That's kind of crazy to think about. That all stopped, of course, during Prohibition. However, in 1933, when the 21st Amendment ended dry America, it took only 48 hours for American brewers to deliver $10 million in tax revenue, roughly the equivalent of $145 million of tax revenue today. Isn't that kind of crazy when you think about that?
Wow, that's nuts.
Yeah, 40%. Yikes. Yikes. So anyway, kind of an educational beer devotional this week.
Very educational. What are you drinking, speaking of the beer devotional?
I am, speaking of American beer, I'm drinking a British beer. It's a Kentish Ale Spitfire. It's premium Spitfire. It says it's the bottle of Britain. I almost went in an accent there. Did you hear that?
You were close. You were very close.
But this company's been around since 1698. When I went over to London to see the Viking Steelers game this year, it was the first beer I drank in a pub, was the Spitfire. Wow. And I was at my local beer store and going through.
Beer like, fetchery.
The beer fetchery. And I saw it, and I'm like, what? Spitfire? So I grabbed it, and it's good. Not as good as it is, obviously, out of the old school pubs over there, but a little nostalgia for me. What do you got?
Nice. I've got Three Floyds, great company. Jinx Proof Lager. It's a delicious lager, JD. Crisp, pale, refreshing lager, light malt sweetness, and plenty of noble hop notes. Delicious beer, as most of the beers coming from Three Floyds are pretty good. So the Munster, Indiana boys know how to do it.
Nice, nice. Well, we got a fun show. When we come back, we're going to talk Olympics. Stick around. You're by my side. Hey, I felt pretty when they turned out the light. I didn't know just what was going on when all my guts were telling me to run a stop around when I should have been there with you. And Bobby, do you have Olympic fever? Are you all about watching the games right now?
I don't have a fever so much. I have a slight temperature. I am enjoying it. I mean, one of the things that the other networks kind of force you to watch the Olympics by just throwing up reruns of most of their shows. And if you watch shows on NBC, obviously you're not getting those. So I have been following the Olympics pretty closely, I'd say. I'm still watching. I think most of America is.
I think that's pretty much all I've watched since the opening games of anything else. And when you're watching any other program, they're talking about the Olympics, what's going on in Sochi. I'm glad we've moved on from the fact the hotels weren't ready and the water looks like urine.
And Bob Costas has a horrid eye infection.
Yeah, and all the jokes about Bob Costas taking the red eye home. I'm glad we're past that and actually to the sport. And honestly, right now, the old U.S. of A. is kind of disappointing.
Wow, they're tanking. I think they're like fourth in the medal count. It's
fifth. We've fallen to fifth. Count. Germany's one as of this recording. Canada is second. Norway is third. Now, Norway always comes out strong because they do the odd events early on, like the cross-country skiing for 130 miles and then shooting a bear and then putting it on your back and then skating on the ice. And Norway's really good at that.
That's true.
But, I mean, Norway always has amazing Winter Olympic athletes and
amazing looking athletes, is that what you said?
There
amazing
is
looking
a snowboarder for Norway that's not bad looking. And we've got a loyal listener actually outside of Oslo, and Nikolai, and I bet Nikolai knows exactly who we're talking about. So you have to hit us up on Facebook on that one, Nikolai. But Netherlands are fourth, and then the U.S. is coming in at fifth, only three gold medals. And some of the people we were expecting to medal have fallen short. Sean White not medaling, huge disappointment. Lindsey Vonn not even being in it, but her replacement gets a bronze at least.
Yeah.
So
Bodie Miller laid an egg. Yeah.
Yeah, that one didn't shock me though. I feel like he's just kind of
he's been going that way for a long time.
He really has. I'm trying to equate him to someone in another sport that had all the hype and ended up being okay. Yeah, pretty good.
The only thing that I can think of is guys that are taken in the draft. But, I mean, he was a guy that was good.
Proven. Yep.
Yeah, he proved himself in the world championships and stuff like that. It's just when it came time.
He's Grant Hill.
That would be a good analogy.
Because Bodie Miller's battled injuries, but it's just a lot of potential. Should get there because I know everything there is about downhill slalom skiing. I mean, I just want that out there right now. Yeah. Nobody knows more than me. You know, tuck and grind those corners. Yes, I am all about it.
I think I used one of the the snowboard style guys. When they said, like, oh, he goosed it at the tail end for the next, like, half hour, I was like, to my wife, I was like, man, that guy really goosed it on the tail. Did you see him? And she's like, oh, my God, would you stop it? And I'm like, oh, look at that. The dog, look at what the dog just really goosed it right there on the tail end. She's like, oh, my God, are you going to go with this? Yep, I'm going to totally use this remark all night.
I like that.
I will tell you that one of the most disappointing parts of it, JD, is I wanted to watch Sean White on the half pipe. That was probably what I was most looking forward to for the Olympic Games. I wanted to see Sean White on the half pipe.
Yes.
And so yesterday, it was the day of, and I'm excited, and I know already, okay, be careful what you tune to, because ESPN has it on the bottom line, and ESPN also has it on their front page as to what's happening in the Olympics. Yahoo at least is trying to cover it a little bit, but what they put it up there yesterday, I go to Yahoo, and on their front page it just says, surprise ending in Sean White halfpipe. And I'm like, why are you doing it? And it shows like a dejected face. I'm like, why are you doing that? You're ruining it for me. I know you're trying to say, oh, we didn't put it out there what the thing was, but you kind of did by calling it surprising and then showing him dejected. And the Tribune's not even trying to hide anything. The Tribune front page, like, if you just go to ChicagoTribune.com, boom. Very first headline was about the Shawnee Davis, speed skater losing, and it was front page. So if you wanted to wait and watch it tonight, sorry. If you just wanted to go to the Tribune to see what's going on in the city, you found out already, spoiler.
Yeah,
what's going on? And so I knew going in last night when I was watching it, we're recording on a Wednesday. I knew going into it that something happened that wasn't going to be good during his run. I had only had to hope, like, maybe the first run was bad, the second one was great, like, right. something like that. That was a bummer, though, that he finished fourth. I'm a huge Shaun White fan, and he's so much better than the competition. I was bummed to see him fall.
To me, that's what sucks about these games. There's no way around it. You have the time differential, yeah. And they try to play it up as big as they can in prime time. Mm-hmm. That's just frustrating. And really, there's no way. I mean, okay, so I could have the Olympics on 24/7. And if there'd be money to be made, they would do it. But yeah. it is frustrating because I didn't even watch Shaun White. I wanted to see him.
You already knew what happened.
I knew what happened, and I didn't want to. I'm done. I don't want to see it. I don't know. To me, that's extremely frustrating. But there also has been some others that there's been surprise performances that I'm like, I got to tune in and see that.
Sure.
So, you know, the element of surprise is gone with these Olympic Games. But the U.S. has got to kick it in gear. And actually, just as surprising is Russia in seventh place. The host city in seventh place. Host country.
Well, I think the most important thing for them is winning ice skating. And if they don't win ice skating, I think all those skaters, you'll never hear from them again.
They will not be in Putin's shirtless calendar.
You will see them shaking with fear on the podium if it's a silver medal that they're standing for. They're going to be running for the doors as soon as it's over with.
Well, Bobby, you got some music for us?
I do, JD. This is off a release in 2013. I recently came across this band. It was off their, they had their debut album in 2013. The band is called Houndmouth, and the song is called On the Road.
Favorite bands we always talk about, and mm-hmm. A lot of these artists, like, for instance, I love Sievert Holm, came from Mad Regatta.
Yep.
There could be an argument made worldwide, is he bigger than Mad Regatta was, the band that he left,
mm-hmm.
That disbanded.
But
it's funny, the more you look at this, there's a lot of those in history where that artist became way more popular than the band, kind of like the band of others.
The band of others. That's what we're talking about here.
Let me give you a few examples, and then there's some that we really want to point out and tell you what happened to this band. And
sure.
We'll get to hear a little bit about the music. Yardbirds and Cream with Eric Clapton.
Absolutely.
Buffalo Springfield, Neil Young.
Mm-hmm.
Wham with George Michael. It's true. He's yeah. more popular than Wham. NWA with Dr. Dre and Ice Cube.
Oh, all right.
Vatican Commandos with Moby.
Hey, all right. That's an interesting one.
Yeah, yeah. I'm digging deep on these. Misfits with Glenn Danzig.
Mm-hmm.
could be an argument on that one. Generation X, Billy Idol. Genesis with Phil Collins, another one you can make an argument.
And Peter Gabriel.
And Peter, yep.
It went Peter Gabriel first, then, yeah.
I should have made a game out of this. Who was the artist who came out of these groups?
Yeah.
Who was the artist who came out of the Chad Michael Trio?
The Chad Michael Trio? I have no idea.
John frickin' Denver.
Hey, all right. Go him.
Screaming Trees, Mark Lanegan, who we got to see.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who came from Bite the Bullet or South Gang, Bobby?
I do. He also was in Marvelous 3, and it's Butch Walker.
Yes. Men at Work, Colin Hay.
Mm-hmm. And you can argue.
You can argue on that one. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, a lot of great ones that have come out of these lesser known bands. But we're going to spotlight a few. And Bobby, start us off.
So this first one is one of my favorite musicians of all time and one of my favorite bands of all time, Joe Strummer, and the band that he was known most for was The Clash. And in this instance, the first band that he was in that actually has any releases was a pub rock band called The 101ers. And the 101ers are named after the street that these guys lived on, Joe Strummer and his roommates. And this band, as you can tell from the sound, this song is called Let's Get a Bit Rockin'. They were rockabilly, which is not something you'd look for out of a Joe Strummer. And at this time, he was going, his name was still John Malore, but he was going by the nickname Woody because of Woody Guthrie.
Okay.
But then the story is that they did a show with the Sex Pistols one night in 1976. This band was only around for 2 years. In 76, and he saw the Sex Pistols, and he, forget about it. My sound is out. This is what the people want to see is punk and this Sex Pistols sound, and that's when he broke off and eventually formed The Clash. But the 101ers are essentially a rockabilly group. You'll listen. They didn't have any formal releases except for a single when they were around. The single was called Keys to Your Heart, which, if you think about punk rock, and that's like the furthest thing you think from it. But there was a release finally in 1981 because of The Clash. People pieced together a bunch of recordings that they had of the 101ers and put it out called Elgin Avenue Breakdown. And it was later put out, it was reissued in the I think in the 90s or 2000. I actually have it on vinyl. And it is, there's a Bo Diddley cover on it. There's a there's a Chuck Berry cover on it. Gloria, the song Gloria is on it. Like, so there's a song they wrote called Surf City that's on it. So it's very.
Are you sure they wrote it? That's a Jan and Dean song.
Well, no, this one is a one that they wrote, but it's in that sound.
Okay.
It's really, it's funny to hear him do it, but his vocals obviously are the same as what you'd hear from Joe Strummer. His vocals never changed, but a completely different sound from what he did all of a sudden. As soon as this band ended, what he started doing after that. So it's a pretty cool thing to hear where he came from. That's the 101ers, JD.
Wow, that's great. My group I'm going to feature is called Zoot.
Zoot?
Zoot. Are you familiar with Zoot?
I'm familiar with the French word.
Let's give it a quick listen. Formed in South Australia, 1965, right?
All right.
With the Down the Line album, or actually started as Down the Line, changed their name to Zoot. And they had a top five hit on the Go Set National Singles Chart, covering Eleanor Rigby. And then they disbanded. Well, then they came back together with a guy by the name of Rick Springfield.
Hey, I know that guy.
And also a guy by the name of Beeb Birtles, founder of the Little River Band. But Rick Springfield was the one who came big into there. Now, he was with a couple other groups. Icy Blues, Mopa Blues Band, and Wickedy Whack were the other bands Rick Springfield was with. Now, Zoot, if you're not familiar, they're a popular band, late 60s. Critics labeled them teeny bopper, light bubblegum pop, due primarily to the Think Pink, Think Zoot publicity campaign. Now, they wore pink, head to toe, pink
sand. Oh, my gosh.
They arrived in a pink-painted car to shows. They even had a pink pet dog. And so it was a gimmick. It got them a lot of publicity and fans, but they had trouble establishing themselves as a serious rock group. And so in the 70s, they got tired of all that. They burned all of their pink stuff on a live TV show in 1970. And despite adopting a new image in 1970 to show their harder-edged lyrics, like this song, Hey Pinky, that you can hear right now.
Yeah.
Basically trashing that Zoot image. It persisted, and because of they couldn't shake the image, they disbanded. And then Rick Springfield, as we know, went on to be on General Hospital, not only, but the songs Jesse's Girl, I've Done Everything for You, Don't Talk to Strangers, Affairs of the Heart. But here's something fun. Zoot reunited in 2011, Rick Springfield and friends, on a cruise ship.
Oh,
and
boy.
Played songs on a cruise ship.
Were they all in pink? That'll be...
I'm sure you. At this point, you got to take the pink back because it's all nostalgia.
Yeah, it's kitsch, yep.
Yep. What else you got, Bobby?
JD, are you familiar with the movie Once? The Irish movie. It won a bunch of Oscars in 2007, 2008. The song Falling Slowly was the hit of the year.
I bet I knew. I bet I do.
Yeah, so the song was made, it was Glenn Hansard and Marquita Urglova were the couple that did that song. And the movie Once, as a lot of people who've seen it, it's about an Irish busker on the street, and he meets this girl, and they start making music together. It's a really great movie. Now I guess it's a Broadway play. But anyways, Glenn Hansard took that after Once, and he formed a group with the female called Swell Season. They put out a couple albums, and then he was in. He released his own, a solo album, recently under just his name, Glenn Hansard. He's played recently shows with Pearl Jam. He plays all over the place. He's gangbusters now.
Yeah, he's
but
big.
But before all that, he was in a band called The Frames.
You're telling me I should forget you, but why?
The Frames started in 1990 in Dublin. They put out 8 albums from 1991 until 2006, but they never took off in the United States. They were always pretty big in Ireland, but they never had big success. They did play Lollapalooza in 2006. A couple of their songs appeared on American TV, like in the TV show House and the TV show Life. And they actually toured as an opener for Bob Dylan on his Australian New Zealand legs of the tour in 2007. But then Once came out, and that was it for Glenn, and that was it for the band. The band is still, they put out a documentary this past year, but they don't play any more gigs together. This song is off one of their albums called Burn the Maps. The song is called Fake. But The Frames, really strong band, and if you ever get a chance, you should listen to their albums. They are a rock band with great melody and great lyrics.
Nice, nice. Well, my last one, Bobby, is a group I'm sure you have heard of, Humble Pie. Are you familiar?
I have heard of Humble
Pie. There you go. Formed in 1969, a number of guys, Steve Marriott, Greg Ridley, Jerry Shirley, but also one Mr. Peter Frampton.
Mm-hmm.
They had a single called Natural Born Boogie in July of 1969, hit number 4 on the UK singles chart, followed quickly by a couple of other big songs that they ended up playing. This is one of them called I Don't Need No Doctor. This one was big because it hit in the U.S. charts and the U.K. charts, the I Don't Need No Doctor. Anyway, it propelled them up the charts. Now, what's interesting is the album, As Safe As Yesterday is one of the first albums to be described by the term heavy metal in a 1970 review. When I think of Peter Frampton or Humble Pie, I don't think heavy metal, but that's what coined the phrase. So there you go. There's a truth bomb I just dropped on your head.
Very nice.
But as the band was propelling up the charts,
yeah,
Peter Frampton left. And when their biggest album was released, to become a solo artist, he left at the right time. There were naming rights issues after that of the group, other legal issues. There's been a lot of different various incarnations of the band. In 1991, the founder, Steve Marriott, died. But as late as 2002, they still had an album. A band that started in 1969 still ended up having an album. And, of course, we know Peter Frampton kind of toiled for a while until his famous album, Frampton Comes Alive, came out. And that changed absolutely everything for him, and it was arguably one of the best live albums ever.
Absolutely.
So a lot of great groups here.
Yeah, and it's fun to go back and look over some of the roots, I guess, where these guys started from. The stuff you can hear, the sound that they were developing, and then they either perfected it, and that's why they graduated, you know, to that, or they wanted to do something completely different.
Yeah. Well, speaking of music, Bobby,
you got to have yours.
I got to have mine. Different than anything else we've played so far. It's a new single out by Chicago band Chevelle, and it's called Take Out the Gunman. Just need a bit of light. Get up, put the gun at the eyes. I'm off the knees, had to shoot. It's time for our six-pack of questions. You look excited, so I'm going to let you go first.
Oh, thank you. But before we do that, we need to have music.
And we're going to start it
now. Oh, way off on that one.
It was close.
It was all right. JD, I've noticed during slopestyle and during the halfpipe events at the Olympics that the snowboarders are wearing earbuds. And in fact, in one of the slopestyle ones, the girl was getting down like she was singing right before she took off. I want to know, if you're going to do one of those events, what is it that's playing in your earbuds as you're taking off on the snowboard?
Korn Blind.
I like
that's
it.
That's a quick answer, but
that's good. That's
I'm
solid.
I'm up there. I'm ready to go. And then I hear, are you ready? Boom. I'm ready. I'm going.
There you go.
No, that was an easy one. Winter Olympics. Speaking of that, what Winter Olympic sport would you do given the that you had the ability?
Given the ability, I've always wanted to do the men's downhill just because that looks terrifying to me. You're going like 70 to 80 miles an hour flying down the hill. Yeah, men's downhill would be the best if I could do that and not break any bones.
Yeah,
which is asking a hell of a lot. JD, Fred Armisen is the band leader for.
Is that even
for
real? I feel like it's a gimmick that it's going to be like for maybe a few episodes here and there, but it's not a full-time thing.
I don't know. I think it will be because he is a guitarist. I mean, he has played and he played on SNL.
So does that mean Portlandia is done?
No, he's still going to do Portlandia. But my question for you is, if you got to be the host of that show, who would you have as your band leader? You got to have one guy. I'm not giving you a band this time. You have to pick out your band leader.
I just have to pick out one guy. He's going to run the show.
Yep. He'll be your Max Weinberg.
Oh.
Or your, I know your wife's favorite is Letterman's.
Paul Schaefer?
Paul Schaefer,
oh,
yeah.
God.
That's her favorite.
My wife cannot stand Paul Schaefer. I don't know why, but she just hates him. I know the guy I've got, and a lot of people aren't going to know him. His name's Jim McDonough is going to be my band leader. Jim McDonough is just an amazing pianist. We should have him on the show sometime. And I know Jim from way back when, but he tours throughout the Midwest. Tremendous musician. Jim McDonough's my guy. Look him up.
All right. Look it.
Bobby, one of the sports we have during the Winter Olympics is curling. My question for you, is it a sport or is it more of a bar time activity?
It's bar time activity. It's like bocce ball or something of that nature. I watched it the other day, which I actually was engrossed in, which I shouldn't have been.
Sweep.
I don't understand the scoring yet. I don't understand when you're telling him to sweep, what it's exactly. I have an idea what it's doing, but it's definitely not a sport. It's just a game that you play. It's a game, not a sport.
Yep.
Jeter has announced this is his last season. He's going to do the farewell tour a la Mariano Rivera.
He's going to get a gift basket? Is he going to get autographed baseballs?
From everybody. What is your gift for Derek Jeter if he's coming to your ballpark, JD?
Can I give him a swift kick?
Hey, if that's what you want to do.
He's stayed out of trouble for the most part. Yeah, he's a playboy. But find me an old school Yankee who wasn't. All those guys were all just playboys. But, you know, he seems pretty well respected. Yeah, I'll do the old school. Hey, here's a rocking chair. But for him, maybe it needs to be a sex swing. Bobby, Pink Eye is sidelining Bob Costas.
Yeah.
Can you think of a nastier thing for a broadcaster than Pink Eye? You have to stare at that guy.
Maybe if he had like a big cold sore on his lip. You know, if he's talking with a huge cold sore on his lip, that is the only thing that is worse. Because every time I've seen him, I've felt horrible for him because it keeps getting worse and worse and the eyes like more shut. And like, you are not comfortable right now. And they gave him a day off or a couple days off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, they gave him a couple days off. And you know, Stu Scott's at home going, yeah, I feel you, brother.
Exactly. So maybe if he had a really bad cold sore that everybody could see and speculate about, that would be worse than what he's got going on.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's the six pack. When we come back, last call, one stop away.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Bobby, what do you have for us for a last call, one stop away?
The Canadians have figured it out, JD. They know.
Canucks.
They know how to have a successful time in the Olympic Village. This does not go back to it, but it probably will add to more condom usage at the Olympics.
Okay.
Because what the Canadians have is free beer at their at the Olympic Village. Molson put in a beer fridge, and it's free beer, but only if you're Canadian. You actually have to scan your passport, the fridge will open, and you can get out as many Molsons as you want. Molson Canadian Beer is obviously a big sponsor of the Olympic team. But they did an entire campaign before the Olympics, which was the Scan Your Passport Molson Beer Fridge. And it looks glorious. It's a beautiful old-fashioned beer fridge. You just scan your passport, you open it up. That's how you do it, JD. If you want to celebrate the Olympics, if you want to root on your fellow compatriots, and you also want to make use of the items that they've given you for free to use in the Olympic Village, scan your passport at the Canadian Olympic Village hangout and get yourself some Molson.
It'll still be skunky, but yes.
Yeah. I don't know if I've had a Molson before, JD.
Seriously?
Yeah. Is that their Budweiser? Is that basically what it is?
It kind of is. And the last Molson I had was Molson Ice.
Oh, yeah. Well, anything ice is going to be bad for you, JD.
Yeah, it was just horrible. I don't even know why they did that. Mine is from Nagoya, Japan. Now, you're familiar with people being superstitious. They have a rabbit's foot, rubbing the rabbit's foot for luck. It appears that koala bears are now something people rub for luck. Not necessarily koala bears, koala poop.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Koalas have been known to hang on trees for more than 20 hours at a time without falling. Even while sleeping, and some Japanese feel that koala poop can convey that tenacity when given as a gift.
Prior
to college admissions exams in Japan, many students were given koala feces as a pre-test present. The odd gift was so popular that the zoo in Nagoya distributed packages containing koala feces and a handwritten notes that were gone in less than 10 minutes. It was that popular. That's not only the strange superstitions surrounding college admission exams. In Korea, it's considered bad luck to eat slimy foods or crack an egg prior to taking a test. But you know what? Koala poo, to me, that's a bigger deal.
That's kind of a shitty gift, JD.
Oh, right there. There it
I'm
is.
I'm sorry. You put it right there. Down the pipe. I'm going to swing at it.
Oh, my gosh. Just ending on a crappy note. I see how you are. Well, it's been a fun show. Don't forget to check us out on the socials.
Yeah, Twitter, we're at Two Beers In. Facebook, you can follow us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook, even, if you want to. And email the podcast, 20minutes2beersin@gmail.com.
All right, talk to you next week.
The dog just really goosed it right there on the tail end. She's like, oh my God, are you going to go with this? Yep, I'm going to totally use this remark all night.